This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Not many yippees for Yahoo!
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Yahoo's CEO thinks his company is worth more than $47.5 billion. This weekend, Microsoft even agreed to raise that offer for the internet giant. Jerry Yang said he was thinking something along the lines of $53 billion. Microsoft pulled the offer altogether. This morning, shares in Yahoo fell almost 20% overseas. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli is standing by. Lisa, I hear Yang and his team were putting up some high fives when Microsoft withdrew its offer, but I can't imagine Yahoo shareholders celebrating.
Yeah, Renita, it makes no sense that anybody would be excited to turn down 40-something billion dollars, and there's already one shareholder lawsuit in the works, and most people are saying that this is a miscalculation on Yang's part to turn back the offer, that this wasn't an undervaluation of the company.
All right, so while today the big question is going to be how low will Yahoo's stock price go, what about what's next for Yahoo as a company moving forward?
Well, now everybody's looking at this as one giant square dance. Who is Yahoo going to jump into bed with now to save itself? What will Microsoft do to further its strategy down the road? And of course, it's all the same cast of characters we've been hearing about for 3 months now. You hear AOL bandied about. You hear Google bandied about. I'm sure we'll hear News Corp bandied about before it's all over. And the question is, who's going to end up working together with the other?
There are also a lot of questions about leadership here for Steve Ballmer, the CEO of Microsoft, and for Jerry Yang, CEO of Yahoo. What challenges face both of them?
As far as Ballmer goes, this is seen as, you know, one of his first big moves in the role of CEO at Microsoft. Some people say that it was very measured and deliberate and thoughtful for him to walk away. Each of them are now in a position where they have to justify what they've done, and that can't be easy, but that's why they get paid the big bucks.
Lisa Napoli reports on all things tech for us. Lisa, thanks so much.
Thank you, Renita.
Oil is steady at $116 a barrel this morning. The Dow begins the week at 13,058 after a gain of 48 points Friday. The Nasdaq dropped 3 points and is at 2476. The S&P 500 picked up 4 points to 1413. The Japanese and South Korean markets were closed today. In Europe, stocks are lower, and UK markets are also closed for a holiday. WPP, the world's second-largest advertising firm, says it may pull its headquarters out of Britain. The company is the latest threatening to walk because of high taxes. Stephen Beard reports.
Taxes are never popular, but this one's infuriated some of Britain's biggest companies. The plan is that businesses based in Britain would pay more UK tax on their foreign earnings. Companies that make a lot of their profits overseas could be hit hard. WPP is one such company. The advertising group, which owns J. Walter Thompson in the States, reckons it could face an additional tax bill of tens of millions of dollars a year. WPP's boss, Sir Martin Sorrell, says he may pack up and leave the UK, and dozens of other giant corporations could do the same.
These are very significant companies that pay far more money than we do, and the loss to the Treasury will be significant. And it will be a dent in the image of London as a financial centre.
Other companies like Glaxo, Vodafone, BP and Shell have also reportedly warned of a corporate exodus out of Britain if the tax plan isn't scrapped. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist. Committed to writing about issues that matter and the connections between them. The Economist. See the world differently. At newsstands and economist.com. By America's Family Physicians. Offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value. And by gather.com, where friends can stay in touch. People are talking at gather.com.
Jeffrey Hollander makes a lot of judgments. He's CEO of Seventh Generation, a maker of non-toxic household products. He's an unpaid environmental advisor to Walmart. He blogs, too, about what he thinks does and does not constitute green business. Marketplace sustainability reporter Sarah Gardner caught up with Hollander to see how he separates the mean from the green.
First off, Jeffrey Hollander wants you to know even his company's not perfect.
We make mistakes. We make compromises.
Hollander was painfully reminded of that in March. The Organic Consumers Association took Seventh Generation to task for calling its dish soap natural while still containing traces of a suspected carcinogen. That may help explain the first of his top three criteria for judging a company's green cred.
Look at the whole company. Don't look at the product.
Hollander cites GE as an example. He applauds the company for eco-imagination, GE's clean energy venture. But the company doesn't get his green stamp of approval, not when it's still doing big business in nuclear power and coal, he argues.
What we find is companies doing something very good or trying to do something good with one hand, while with their other hand, they're still continuing to do bad.
Hollander's number two criterion, honest, accurate advertising.
Don't overstate it, don't mislead people, and don't make claims that are totally irrelevant. Don't say this product doesn't have phosphates if it never did.
Hollander cites Toyota and British Petroleum as offenders, BP for running ads touting its green logo Beyond Petroleum when it's considering a sale of its green energy unit, and Toyota for airing tree-hugging commercials while lobbying against California's higher fuel standards.
You can't put an ad on TV, you know, with this Prius built with twigs and we want to leave no footprint behind. Well, you know, that sounds good, but it's, you know, I hate to say it, it's total
Number three, transparency. Hollander says any company aspiring to be truly green should file a corporate responsibility report, preferably one that uses a global standard called the G3 guidelines. That way, he says, consumers can find out for themselves whether a company is backing up its eco talk with Eco Walk. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
All right, go to marketplace.org to see responses from the companies Jeffrey Hollander discussed. And check out our own Greenwash Brigade. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.